In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Steph, and welcome to Women of Worth. Now, if this is the first time you're joining us, guess what? You're in the right place, because as Women of Worth, our mission is to teach, encourage, and empower one another to be the virtuous women that God has called us to be. And by providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where you can learn and grow. And we hope that your life will be enriched by this program, because our goal at the My Church channel, the My Church Virtual Ministries, we big ministry now, is to offer an array of faith-based programming that ministers to the entire body of Christ. For example, the Leadership Academy, the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training, Medicine for the Mind, The Heart of the Pastor, Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, and The Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash, and also Revival Now Ministry, Revival Now Global Church with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. You can find the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV, or simply download the My Church on the Go app on your favorite mobile device from the Apple or Google Play App Store. So I encourage you to share this broadcast with everyone you know. Now, with all that being said, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment. Father God, I pray that all distractions and hindrances, Lord God, will be put aside so that women can learn more and build their character as the women of God that you have designed them to be. I pray, Lord God, that this will be a moment of transparency, of learning, and also giving the women a chance to explore their own issues, Lord God, to help them develop and to become greater women. And Lord, I thank you that for my guests that'll be with me tonight as we begin to explore a topic that really needs to be discussed. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tonight, I want to talk about insensitivity. Now, I mean, y'all, I'll be honest. I'm tired of a bunch of foolishness, insensitivity on all levels. I mean, believers, unbelievers, you know, other denominations, other religions, whatever. I mean, just foolery, period. You know, I just happened to look on Facebook. I was updating something and, you know, everybody has their opinions, but I do saw a post about Jill Biden talking about Joe Biden's cancer. Now, there were so many comments that were supportive, but people had laughing emojis, They had some terrible things to say. Now, you may not always agree with what his political values were, but the man has cancer. And it's in a stage now where who knows he'll even be with us for long. Then I can never forget when our current leader was poking fun at a reporter that had physical disability. Literally, he was trying to mimic him and did it, I mean, on worldwide TV. I mean, and I can go on and on and on. You know, some of the reels I look at, they're like funny. Some were funny. But then some, by the time I got by the middle, I just had to get off of it. Because, again, people are insensitive. And I think it's getting worse. So, ladies, we're going to have to learn how to navigate through it getting worse, but being the light in the midst of this dark time to help people recognize that, hey, people are people. Things are going to happen. You know, good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. But we know that bad things can happen to good folk. And it's not a pleasant thing when someone pokes fun or just so insensitive to their issue because they forget stuff will hit home. So insensitivity is one of the most jarring, exhausting parts of navigating a hard season. Looking up through your tears only to find someone else smirking, making a joke, or completely dismissing your pain because they literally cannot fathom it ever happening to them. So, you know, it is a unique brand, and we're going to break down a lot. Let's see. Okay, here we go. You know, it's a unique brand of insensitivity. And, you know, it's more than just teasing someone. I mean, there are different kinds where a person may feel so secure in their own health and finances or relationships that they treat another one's tragedy like a punchline or a distant abstract concept. So before I go any further, I would love to introduce to you, some of you know who she is. You know, she's my spiritual daughter. I met her when she was at Liberty University, and, you know, just seeing her grow into this wonderful, powerful woman of God, it's a blessing. And I'm so thankful to be a part of her life, of her husband's life, and to witness her children growing stronger in the Lord. It is awesome. So at this time, I'd like to introduce to you, to some, and some again, you know, Sarah Hobson. She is the pastor and assists her husband with pastoring the wonderful church called Hill City Christian Church, in Lynchburg, Virginia. So glad to have her. And I'm going to bring her right on in. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Oh, child. Trying to get it. So, yeah.
You're doing great.
You. Thank you. You know, y'all, Sarah was so sweet. Anytime Pastor Steph is in a bind, all she has to do is ask Sarah. And Sarah will always show up. And I truly, truly appreciate that.
And, of course.
You know, today, though, we're just going to talk about this topic of insensitivity. You know, and I know with you having kids, you're trying to teach our children, you know, what's right and what's wrong. But if we be honest, there's some adults that act like children. In fact, the children act better than they do, you know. And I thought it was interesting when I was reading this material where it says a unique brand of insensitivity comes from a place of untouched privilege. You know, we know people always try to, you know, live this entitled life. an entitlement can come crashing down when tragedy or financial strife or relationship strife comes in. And it's sad that, you know, people want to poke fun at that. So, you know, Sarah, how do you look at insensitivity in the current day, the current time?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about, you know, my husband and I, we love comedy. We love watching comedic skits and things that. And, but there's some comedy that, and at least recently, you know, there's a brand of comedy called roasts, right? And what's a roast? A roast is... Right? What is a roast? A roast is to do just that. You take literally the worst things you could think of and you throw it at the person that you're roasting in jest, right? It's an opportunity. It's a space to say anything and everything. But at the end of it, to say it was just a joke, it's okay. I don't, you know, we can all laugh about it and move on. And so as you were talking, I was thinking about that and just how, you know, I think I hear that. Okay, I guess as a comedian, you can say that and try to get away with it. But I think at the end of the day, right, I think a roast is actually pretty terrible. And some of the roasts that we can see that we have seen are pretty awful. They're pretty vulgar, and not just in language, but I think, you just like, you should never, ever say that to another individual, because it just is, it's distasteful. But in the world of comedy, it's okay. Right. Cause it's comedy. And so it's okay. And so I just think, you know, in light of, right, as a believer and, you know, these people who do roast, or some of the roasts that I'm referring to, right? These aren't Christians. They're not believers. They're not people who follow the Lord. They're not accountable. Anybody but themselves, right? But I think in light of that, though, I think I, though, still have a responsibility as a believer, one, for the things that I allow myself to see here and laugh at. And so I think that is a way that I think we can become insensitive and not even realize it. And I think it can be a slippery slope sometimes of, oh, it's just a joke. But then one day I find myself just joking because of something that maybe I don't really take that serious, because it's just a joke. So I can just joke about anything, and then I could apologize or say I'm just kidding and move on. But I think there is a higher standard for us as believers in the words that we say, and the things that we think on, and the things that and how we just speak about each other, right? It's all throughout the scriptures, and how we talk about one another's trauma, and how we can joke about trauma, how we can joke about pain. There is a fine line, right, between something that is a joke and then something that is absolutely not a joke. It is incredibly insensitive. It's a line that we can cross that we shouldn't even get near it. And so I think that's sort of, as we think, as we talk about this, I think, you know, just having to be really careful as believers, and not allowing some of the things that maybe are funny and the world says it's okay, it's just a joke. Isn't it okay to, though, say, actually, no, that isn't a joke, to have a bit of a standard for ourselves, and for how we treat one another out in the world? Because we're called to a higher standard. And so,
And as believers, and especially, you know, in our roles, being ministers, being, you know, pastors, having a flock, you know, we have to be careful of our own insensitivity, because, you know, we're human. And there are some days, you know, I remember some days back in it, you know, when we were at 1717 Park Avenue, you know, some days I just didn't feel good. And, you know, somebody would say something to me or ask if they could talk with me, and I was rather like bland. And that came across as being insensitive, but it wasn't my intention to be insensitive. Mm-hmm. It was just how I was feeling in the moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And there is an anatomy of sensitivity. I mean, literally how different pieces build insensitivity to a point that it is detrimental. And, you know, when people poke fun at someone else's troubles, it usually stems in two things. Now, you talked about the roast, and, you know, the roast, again, very, very tacky, you know. But then they target some of that individual's troubles in their life, you know. Like, I've seen people, again, social media, but, you know, I've seen people make jokes about natural disasters or, you know, terrorism. I mean, you know, we got all that stuff going on now. And it's not funny, because the issue is we always think, well, it can never be me. You know, it can't happen to me. That's a delusion. I mean, last time I checked, we are all humans. We all carry different things. You know, we all may have, you know, illnesses or financial trials, whatever. But when it's, it could never be me delusion, it's a dangerous assumption that somehow we are immune to the brokenness of this world. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, man, that's so spot on. And I think that right, we've all found ourselves in those, being tempted by that way of thinking. And I think a lot of it just comes from a place of pride. It's a place of, I've worked hard enough, or I've done all of the things to kind of control my environment or control the outcome of my life, prevent certain things, whether it's how I eat or exercising or financial planning or certain classes or books, whatever these things are, right, that are within our control, I think there is a temptation to say, because I've done all the things right. I live in this particular neighborhood. My kids go to this particular school. I've done all the X, Y, Z, right? The ducks are all in a row. You know, I have set myself, my family up to succeed in a way that is to protect my family from danger or from harm or from poverty or from illness, all of these things, right? And I think that is such a prideful place to be, because the reality is I can do everything right.
You got that everything. Right. And, you know, when you talk about just children, I mean, every time I turn around, I see a child or a young person or young adult attached to somebody's phone, you know, and they don't develop social skills or learn how to interact with someone. So, you know, if somebody was literally hurting, say, for instance, it had just finished icing, or, you know, if there's some snow and the parking lot was slick, you know, what happened if an older person slipped and fell? You know, kids watch this foolish stuff about pranks and everything. And if they are totally immune to situations that happen, they're going to poke fun, or they're not going to help, you know. And somebody could actually have a fractured hip. I mean, it's funny I'm saying this now, I guess, because I'm shifting into the next segment of my life. You know, I'm 56. Yeah. I'll be 56 in July. I can't believe it. But anywho, you know.
Wow.
So I look at those things. Or, you know, even all my life, being a social worker, or always loving the underdog. I love the underdog because people were mean back in the day. So you know, when this immune to the brokenness of the world happens, you know, it's just not healthy. And another part of the anatomy of sensitivity is a lack of emotional imagination. Mm-hmm. Now, that says it's an inability to step out of their own comfort zone and feel the weight of someone else's reality. Wow. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Some people are just not able, or they choose not to come out of their comfort zone. You know, it's them, mm-hmm. not me.
Yeah. I think it's this, why would I want to be uncomfortable? If my life is comfortable, nothing has gone wrong, everything makes sense. I think it goes back to, it's a control piece. It's a control issue. It's a God, I'll let you order my steps up to this far. It's a God, I'll give you this much control over my life, but not this much. Because if I let you into these areas of my life, you might call me out into spaces that I've never been. You may call me into spaces with people that I've never interacted with before. You may call me into spaces where I encounter issues that I'm trying to prevent. And so I think part of that, right, it all stems back to a pride of, I know what's best for my life, and a control piece of, and I have to stay within this bubble, because if I step outside of this bubble, what if something wrong happens? And I think at the end of the day, that's just life. And if God is in control, then every little piece that happens in my life, he reigns on the just and the unjust, right?
Right.
Anything that happens in my life, God is always using it for his glory. He's using it to stretch me, to challenge me, to grow me, to reveal something new about himself, to pull flesh out of me, to pull the works of the flesh out of me. And so if I never allow myself to enter into those spaces, then how do we grow? How do I grow relationally? I become a mono person, right? I think one way, I live one way, I'm surrounded by one type of individual. That's like, to me, that sounds like such a boring life. Such a boring life and such a selfish life, right? If we think about it, you know, I think that's very selfish. I don't want to be uncomfortable. So I'm not going to enter into your space. I don't want to know you. I don't want to get to know you. Because you look like you're going to ruffle the feathers too much in my life. And I would rather just not. And I just think we both miss out. We both miss out on the beauty of what could have been. I'm trying to control. I'm too afraid, right? I'm too afraid of the unknown, of being uncomfortable.
Sure. And so, when you even talked about the works of the flesh and selfishness, all of those are in the mixture of, you know, being insensitive. So, you know, and if you've ever been on the receiving end, I mean, I have, I don't know if you had, you know, growing up and whatever. I mean, shoot, in the church, you know, it's painful. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end of someone being insensitive. And it can make what is already a heavy burden feel twice as heavy because it's wrapped in isolation. And you just said, you know, by having that pride, by saying, okay, I'm not leaving my comfort zone. You stay in your lane, I stay in mine. And you actually miss out on the beauty of what could have been, you know, to work past those things. And that in itself will defeat isolation. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're just not hurting, but sometimes people will poke fun or, you know, say that you may feel foolish for hurting. So we're going to see what the word says about this. Because you know, the word is true and it's proven, right? So as we know, God is not one who sugarcoats words. You know, he can have different tones, yes. But the truth is the truth. And he doesn't chop up or mince words about the kind of behavior that we know as insensitivity. In fact, his word addresses all the cruelty of mocking, the suffering, and the absolute necessity of empathy. So, Sarah, do you have Proverbs 17 up by any chance?
I can pull it up right now.
Yeah, please.
Yes, ma'am. Go in the my actual physical Bible.
Yeah, I love the page. Turn the page. I hear it.
You hear it? Good. I need to feel it right now.
Proverbs 17.
Proverbs 17.
And we'll look at verse 5.
All righty. It says this: the one who mocks the poor insults his maker, and the one who rejoices over calamity will not go unpunished.
All right. Is that straightforward? No chaser, right?
That is.
Yep. Cause
it's pretty black and white to me.
It is. It's no gray.
Yeah.
None. Because, you know, everybody as a child, you know, God created everything and everything that dwells on the earth, you know, and he designed us just to, you know, build the kingdom. And the last thing we want to do is mock another person, whether they're poor, whether they're heavyweight or, you know, anything of that nature, because you're actually insulting God. And, you know, that's not cool. So, you know, we mock someone who's already down. We're not being rude. We are disrespecting the very God who created them. Sure enough.
It puts a different type of weight on it.
It does. A whole different side. If you had a scale, you know, the scale with all the weight will hit the floor and the one without will hit the ceiling, you know? And because people do, they don't, I guess what I'm saying is, you never know what other people are going through. You can't assume you know, and you can make some statements about maybe somebody having, you know, schizophrenia. Like, you know, I worked with a lot of mental health patients and I've had, I won't say coworkers, but I've had, you know, health professionals make fun of these people. You know, a lot of times people have schizophrenia. They're not the cleanest. You know, they are paranoid. They may, you know, talk to themselves. And I've actually heard people poke fun. But little did they know that, I mean, I have a relative that has paranoid schizophrenia. You know, so nobody really knows what you're going through. So why mock someone who's down? I'm pretty certain they don't want to be the way they are, even though they think their reality is reality, you know? So you're disrespecting God. And not only that, you're disrespecting even the person you interact with because you don't know what they're going through. And the scripture reminds us that taking pleasure or finding amusement in someone else's ruin, like, be glad at the calamity, like he was talking about, the word was talking about. It's something that God takes seriously.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think I have so many different thoughts. My brain is going a lot of different places.
I know, right? It's some rich stuff. So go ahead.
Yeah, but I think I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 13, right? And it's just, it's we, those of us who've been in the church know 1 Corinthians 13, right? It displays love. And a lot of times we hear this at a wedding. But this isn't just for marriage, right? This isn't just for a man and a woman and a couple. This is like, this is a black and white. What does love look like?
Yeah.
What does it mean to, when I say I love you, Pastor Stephanie, what is the, how do I know that I am loving you the way the Lord has defined what love looks like? And I think, you know, if we just look at this, right, it's patient, it is kind. I think, what is it? It's kind. Love is kind. And so the first thing there is just to mock a brother, to mock a sister is just not kind, right? And so as a believer, we just, you know, talk to believers, right? Because I think those of us who, those who don't know the Lord, right, they fall under a very different standard. They they follow under the standard of the ways of the world. Like, I think, so for those of us who call ourselves sons and daughters of the King, like, the standard is different. It's to be kind. It isn't to boast. It's not rude. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrong. It finds no joy in unrighteousness. It only rejoices in the truth. And so, I don't know, I think, you know, Philippians 4 talks about whatever is noble and honorable, to think of these things. And so as we talk about, you know, going back to Proverbs and mocking a brother and finding joy in their, essentially their demise, that, that totally contradicts what it is to love. It totally contradicts how the Lord calls us to think. And I think that what a weighty thing to say when you mock a brother, you're mocking their maker. That should give us a healthy fear to be slower to speak.
That's good.
A healthy fear to be slower to open our mouth and say something that's not building a brother up, but is tearing them down. Because what I believe the enemy is really good at is he's sneaky, right? He comes like a snake and he's sneaky. How sneaky is it to numb us to our words, to our jokes? It's just a joke. It didn't mean anything by it. Well, guess what? That joke just opened a door. For more pride, for arrogance. It opened a door for a numbness to the things that the Lord calls us to be sensitive about and to be mindful of. It didn't mean anything. It actually it actually did. Because they're an image bearer of Christ. However imperfect they are, however imperfect their body, their mind is, they're an image bearer. And I think, and even those who don't yet quite know the Lord, they're still an image bearer. The one who we should be having words for is the enemy. Right?
They're right, yep.
And instead, I've made them the enemy. I've created a wedge between my brother or sister, just because I don't know how to interact with the thing that's making me uncomfortable, or just because it's like what we do. We poke fun at these things. We've always done that. That's just what we do. It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal.
It really is, and the one who says it's not a big deal is not a big deal until it happens to them, you know? And I love it that you went to 1 Corinthians just to talk about what love means. And in Romans 12:15, it talks about, you know, rejoicing with those who rejoice. To me, that's love. And weep with those who weep. Guess what? That's love too.
That's love. Amen. Yep.
And, you know, I'm a history buff and I've gotten hooked on watching all these documentaries, you know, and I just happened to come across the one about the Oklahoma City bombing back in 1994 or something, five or something like that. So, you know, it was in Oklahoma, and I'm pretty sure just like the South, the interactions between people of different cultures and races, you know, it didn't happen until they had that tragedy. It was horrible, horrible. And one African-American woman, she was on the news and they were interviewing her. And she said, you know, we may have differences in opinions or differences in our lives, but we are all on the same ground and turf right now. You know, in other words, you know, okay, I weep with you. You know, they were doing what the word of God was saying. And the fact that, you know, people from anywhere, they were supporting, but there were also people, as we know, well know, were being malicious. You know, same thing about, you know, 9/11, how, you know, people felt. And I mean, my goodness, even ICE, I mean, the current situations that have happened, not only in Mexico, but Puerto Rico, you know, anybody that doesn't look like the quote unquote norm. And we need to really be mindful of that, because last time I checked, God is everywhere. The Holy Spirit's with you. The Holy Spirit's with me. He's right in the midst of us across these airways, you know? So just like with any other calamity, any other major issue that anybody is experiencing, we have to posture our heart to be able to rejoice, not be envious, but rejoice, true rejoice, true joy, you know, and to definitely be able to feel empathy, to be able to weep with someone. Because empathy is when you join somebody else, you know. As soon as someone says, oh, I feel sorry for you, well, that's sympathy. A lot of people don't want that, you know. It's, how can I help you? So we know that sensitivity and jokes and all that, it has caused people's hearts to be broken, you know. And in ministry, you know, Sarah, I don't know about you, I always would think, honey, why do we get everybody that has church hurt? I mean, why? You know, we had some real deal people, don't get me wrong. But, you know. And I had to stop and remind myself that their experience here is not going to be the experience they had over there. But because they were damaged and brokenhearted over there, you got more work to do over here, you know, to help them navigate through this posture of being hurt, you know. And by showing a lack of empathy, that's not only a reflection of the love of God, but it helps them identify their pain. Now, you know, a lot of times people who do, for example, have the insensitive ways, they may not even realize that they're seeing that they're actually breaking your heart. That they think that what you feel is invalid. And, you know, as I said, sure enough, you don't know what people are going through. And life has a way of turning tables. I mean, spinning tables, right? And arrogance rarely ages well. You know, it's a shame. I know people that are older than me that are still arrogant and they're ugly. Arrogance isn't pretty. So, you know, you got to keep your heart soft, even when the world around you feels incredibly calloused. You think about a callus, especially on the bottom of your foot, that's some hard skin. You know, and sometimes you may not get all that callus off. You can scrape. You can go, you know, get a pedicure. You can go, you know, put Vaseline or some Crisco, whatever, on the bottom of your feet. And that callus ain't gone nowhere. Mm-hmm. And when you are hurting and you feel like you're being picked on by everybody, you can realize that the world is full of tough calluses. Mm-hmm. You know, but I want the brokenhearted to remember, you know, the pain is seen. Mm-hmm. It matters. Mm-hmm. And it's never a joke to the one who numbers the hairs on your head.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amen. Wow. Amen.
So, Sarah, how would you apply God's wisdom to those moments where, you know, you may be brokenhearted or you're dealing with somebody who's insensitive? How does it give you clarity? Especially when you, your emotions are up. I mean, you do have feelings, correct?
Oh, I have a lot of them.
Well now, yes, ma'am.
I have a lot. I have a deep well of emotions.
Uh-huh. That's right. Right. And it's what you do with them. So go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah. I think that in light of dealing with somebody who is insensitive, maybe somebody who lacks empathy or compassion, I think for me, it is just very telling of their maturity. It's telling of their own brokenness, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's telling of their own pain and their own hurt and their own traumas. It's just, I think, those of us who lack empathy for people, you're hiding something. Mm-hmm. You're afraid of something. And so I think for me, if I am looking at people through the lens of what does it mean to love them, right? Mm-hmm. Then I'm not going to keep record of their wrong. Mm. But part of it, right? But that's just very convicting because I do. I'm remembering you're not an empathetic person. You're actually kind of mean. You've wronged me. You wronged them. I'm remembering things. But how is it that the Lord is trying to use my understanding, the ways in which he's illuminated my eyes to what it means to love my brothers and sisters? How does he need me to be obedient to the truth he's revealed to me so that that person may see, maybe for the first time, what it really looks like to love?
Wow.
Maybe they've never seen what that looks like. Maybe they grew up in the church and they've actually never seen that. They've only seen protection. They've only seen a callousness. They've only seen a hard exterior. They've only seen a protective mechanism. They've only seen people who give the appearance of caring but don't really care. Maybe that's all they've seen. And so then if you've never really seen a pure version of what the Lord has shown us, what it means to love, this is very difficult. This is a very difficult thing to follow.
Sure.
You know, then I think so I don't know. I think when I think of just, right, easier said than done. But I think we're all human. We are all wrestling with our flesh. And we all want to walk out the fruit of the Spirit, but it is very difficult to walk out the fruit of the Spirit. We all want to love, but do we really want to do the work to love each other well and love each other in a way that really is how the Lord calls us to love? And that just takes a lot of dying to myself. It takes a lot of dying to myself to have empathy for someone that I might not like. I don't like you. I don't want to care for you. Exactly. But you know what? God doesn't care. he doesn't care that I don't like you. Because that's not how his economy works.
Yeah.
That's not holiness.
No.
I can't say, well, God, I didn't like them. They wronged me, so I didn't have to care for them. Actually, no, that's not how it works. I'm accountable for every word and every action I have towards my brothers and sisters in Christ, whether I like them or not, whether they've wronged me or not, whether we believe the same things about life or not. I'm still, if they're an image bearer at the end of the day, and whatever fruit is coming out of their life is fruit of who they're submitted to. And I'm not called to love.
One more time. Say that one more time, Pastor Sarah.
What did I say? No, what did I say?
Oh, God. I can't even think.
No, I think, the fruit of people's life is just evidence of who they're submitted to.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it.
And so I think, though, I don't get to pick and choose how I love, who I love. I don't get to pick and choose who I show compassion for or empathy for. The Good Samaritan, right? What a beautiful picture of, it made no sense. The person that stopped, it made no sense. You weren't supposed, they should not have. Culturally speaking, but they did. And I think that that is a picture of when the Lord calls us to be compassionate, to care for the orphan and the widow, to not rejoice in someone's calamity, to not mock. It isn't when the situation fits. I think the true test of, is my life submitted to Christ? Is my life really submitted to Christ?
Yeah.
And the test of that is when there is a person in need, there is someone who's being mocked, there is someone who needs to be wept with that I don't care for. I don't like you. You've wronged me. You've wronged my family. Now what am I going to do? And the true test of, if my life truly is submitted to Christ, none of those things matter.
At all.
Because I'm called to have compassion, show love, show mercy. Show forgiveness. Grace, forgiveness.
Yeah. Tolerance, forbearance, all of that.
Because the end of the day, you know what? The Lord is fighting my battle. That's true freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have to say, you wrong me, therefore I can't be compassionate or empathetic to you, because I need to show you you're going to pay for how you fill in the blank. Actually, God does that.
Yeah.
And so then I'm free to love and show compassion in a way that makes zero sense, because God backs me. He's going to take care of whatever wrong I feel. He's taking care of it for me.
That's what I talk about. A good daddy. Right?
And I just think that allows us to move through life a little more freer. Mm-hmm. And I think those of us, those who we encounter who are insensitive to those who are they're in a broken season, those of us who are dealing with hard things, those of us who just are different, those of us who bodies don't work the same, those of us whose minds don't work, those of us who are just, we don't fit a mold, we're a bit inconvenient, fill in the blank, right? I think those who struggle to be sensitive, to show empathy and compassion for the people around them that are seemingly inconvenient. I just think they just had the light bulb hasn't gone off yet.
And you know, the wonderful thing about walking with the Lord, spending time with Him, you learn how to handle things better, but also maintain and protect your peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to live in strife.
Absolutely.
Dealing with insensitive folk, dealing with people who have no respect to person, that love strife in their life, they can keep it right there.
Absolutely. You're not welcome here.
What you
but
say?
You're not welcome here.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I said, but you're not welcome here.
Amen.
I could love you. I could love you from afar. Ooh. I could love you when I see you, but you're not welcome through my door.
And that, you know, and that's been some tough decisions, really, throughout the 20, almost 29 years of being married to Pastor Tuck. And then from the time our girls were impressionable before they went to college, you know, we literally had to even keep family out, you know, because of the life that they love. And that was strife, bitterness. You know, manipulate. I can go on and on and on. And I didn't want my children to be exposed to that. You know, I didn't want, like, you know, I love my daddy. Don't get me wrong. God love him. You know, he was a great daddy in many realms. But he loved to poke fun. Mm-hmm. And he would always target my weight.
Mm-hmm. You
know, he would target my cousin. She and I, same size, very similar. He would make comments about us. Mm. But then when I heard him make a comment to my girls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We pulled away for quite a bit. And because of that, I think he recognized how he needed to really appreciate the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't entitled to it.
Mm.
And family can feel they're entitled to a relationship.
Yeah.
No. So
the
Bible always gives us direction, blueprints, and we're going to talk about a strategic approach and how to deal with insensitivity. Or as you said, Sarah, you know, yeah, I'm a, you know, go through this, but doesn't mean I have to like you. I mean, there's a lot of folk, I hate to say it, if I had a pen and a piece of paper, I'd write down the ones through my life that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty certain I might be on their list too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when your emotions are running high and, you know, you're just on edge, just waiting to pop off on somebody, that is wasted energy. So the first thing you need to do as guard your emotional energy, you know. So what does that mean? Pause and assess the relationship. And it could be in the moment, you know. That's a lot of times, that's what I tell people, anger management. You know, pause, take a breath, then respond. Don't react. So before you say a word to that person, evaluate if this person is even capable of hearing you. Lord knows that if they're focused only on themselves, and we know that insensitivity comes from selfishness, are they going to be really capable?
Yeah.
You got to see people for who they are and not expect more out of them than they can provide. Because you will be disappointed.
You know? Tough lesson to learn.
Yes, it is.
Very much so.
And I'm when you were talking, I was giggling at you, not being insensitive, but being proud, godly proud, because I can hear your growth spiritually, emotionally, and you're maturing. You know, I'm proud. I can't help it.
Amen.
You know, Amen. The way you talk about stuff now, sir, it's awesome. And I'm not saying, oh, you know, you were inept. No. I mean, I saw you in your early 20s.
Yep. You've seen my, I hope I'm growing. I hope I sound different.
You do. You do. And it's evident in the things I've seen and heard you minister. Your presence. That's different. And it's a beautiful thing. And because of that, you know, even when you evaluate someone, say friends you don't really care for, and you know they're not capable of hearing you, you know how to carry yourself in a way that is elegant, graceful, honoring God, peaceful, even when they're not peaceful, You're not going to let them rob your peace, at least not for 2 minutes. Now, 2 minutes, you might be a little ticked, but but after that, you got to recognize, you know, if there's somebody that can't hear you, they may be trying to poke and start an argument, and your pain, you just said that, and I felt it in my flesh. Oh, it is.
It's exhausting.
And those are the people that you try to avoid. And then when they are avoided and isolated, they're like, what did I do? I'm like, look in the mirror, homie. But, you know, hey, go on and get some window cleaner and clean that mirror and look at you, right? Yep. So another thing to do is speak the truth and love and clarity. So speak the truth in love and clarity. Because people will construe what love is. And it says, you know, call it out in real time. I like that. I felt a little empowerment there. You know, not with an attitude, but you can call everything out with love. Jesus did. Anytime he faced someone that required healing, you know, he called it out in real time, and it was truth so that people can see what he could do. Jesus wasn't insensitive, and Lord knows he had every right to be. But he just lived the example being the Son of God. That's what he was trying to teach the disciples. And that's what we're learning and working through every single day. So when you call it out in real time, you address the comment. You don't need to yell or match their nastiness. Have you ever wanted to do that, Sarah? Match that.
Have I ever? Yeah.
Nice, nasty. That's what I like.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. But, you know, it's important to bring the truth into the open, calmly, exposing the sense of insensitivity without losing your composure. Can you think of a time? And did you ever speak the truth in love and clarity? You don't have to say no names. You're not incriminating yourself. You know, you want to use Jane Doe. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh.
Ms. Smith.
No, I think, I feel like the most frequent, examples I think between me and my husband. But I do think, yes, I think of an individual not my husband, but my somebody husband, else, yeah. who, who, yeah, I think just was hard to be honest. I think it was, felt easier to just not say anything. But I think realized if I don't say something, I'm going to get better and I just will be angry. And so I have to say something. And so part of it was like, but Lord, what do I say and how much do I say? And I think for me, the wrestle is being okay with just reality that I don't always have the green light to say everything. And I think that's just hard because I wanted to say everything. But I think there's a line there where if you keep talking, it'll just be unproductive. And so knowing and trusting, like, you could only say this much and everything else is kind of your own feeling and and it is you wanting to be reconciled a certain type of way with this person. And that's just not something that it is your job to pursue. And so, you know, I think in these past few years, that's something that I've been learning real time regularly with people, just one, how to address issues faster, because if they really do matter and if I really do care about them, and for my own, if I really want to be, I don't want to keep anything hidden. I want everything in the light, so that the enemy has no power or control over those emotions. I've got to say something. And so, you know, I think though it can be tough, especially when it's someone who likes to clap back when they don't like what's being said, you know, who wants to defend. And I think
that
it's the piece of
something else, ain't it?
People, it is. And it's like, well, if you want to take me there, well, I'll go there. And I have to remind myself, not the place, not the time. You've got to reserve that for somebody else. So really what I have done sometimes is I've actually kind of let it all out with James. Mm-hmm. So that cause I got to get it out. I can't keep it in. I got to get it out. That way, when I go to talk to them, I'm good. I got it out already.
Yeah.
Now I could just say what needs to be said and keep it moving.
And you know, everybody has their different styles, right? And you know, when you were talking about clap back and you were like, yeah, if you want to go there, we can go there. I thought about the song that Jay wrote for you, Will You Be My Wife? And that part,
no.
She's a whole lot of class and a little bit of
ghetto.
No. Woo! That little bit of ghetto, boys, that clap back. If you won't go there, we can go there, you know. But he said a whole lot of class. So at least he looked at your class was better than that little bit of ghetto, right?
That's funny. That's funny.
Woo, I just thought about that. I got tickled. Hi, Sarah, go ahead. Anyway, so the next thing is let your no be a firm no. So you got to shift from defense to a firm boundary. For example, if they try to dismiss your feelings by telling you, it was just a joke, you don't need to argue or overexplain. See, overexplaining gives them the platform to continue to talk foolishness. Overexplaining can not only get you confused, but they take it and can throw you in more confusion because you're overexplaining. There's no need to argue. Recognize, they dismissed your feelings. So guess what? I'm setting a boundary. And you have to set the boundary with absolute clarity. Got to.
I think that's so good. I love that you said clarity, because I think sometimes we say we set boundaries with people, but we didn't. We set boundaries in a way that we allowed them to establish the terms of the boundary instead of being very clear about the kind of boundary that we needed, or being very clear about what we mean, or being very clear about what was offensive, being very clear about what we will allow and won't allow. I think that clarity piece is so, it's huge, because it also takes work to be clear, right? Because you can be clear and still be misunderstood. That's painful. I don't want to put myself in that position. But that's still, if we're not clear, no one's ever going to know.
And you know, it's crazy when you were talking about that, all I was thinking about was the letter C. You got clear and clarity. And then if you look at, like cloudy.
Yep.
Cloudy can line up with
confusion.
Whew. Thank you. I was trying to pull that one out. The recess. Thank you. Yep. Confusion.
Yes.
So, you know, yes, we want to be clear and provide that clarity so there'll be no misunderstandings, right?
Yep.
And then finally, y'all, choose your company wisely. You can't be friends with everyone. You know, you can't always try to adjust and meld into a friend group that doesn't have the same characteristics that you have. You know, or people please. Because as soon as that people pleasing occurs, and then that person is insensitive to anything related to you, you'll be hurt. Then you'll start doing extra to be that person's friend. And that ain't worth it. You know, with my daughters, I always tell them, you're only going to have at least a handful of friends, like five fingers, if that. And I mean ride to die friends who'll tell you if you're right or wrong, friends who celebrates and rejoices with you and weeps with you. You know, oh, no, no, mom. You know, she's pretty cool. Da, da, da. And that individual ends up stabbing them in the back or something foolish. And of course, at that moment, when they were experiencing that turmoil, I didn't go, I told you so. Even though I wanted to, but I didn't. Whoa. Now I can go through a teaching moment with them, you know, have them look back and they've learned from their lessons, basically, now that they're women, 26 and 23, but they're women now.
Absolutely not. You know? Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Ah, they're women. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So they know, you know, now they know how to gauge.
Yeah.
And being able to choose their company wisely, because you have to adjust your circles.
Yeah.
You know, so if their response to your boundary is more mocking or deflection, you need to pay attention. God doesn't expect you to keep putting yourself in harm's way with people who refuse to respect your heart. Thoughts on that? I know you just, it's a lot. That's
I, you know, and I think what's so good about that too is just, I don't know, I think my brain is going in so many different directions, but I think that that's just such good wisdom. Because I think going back to a couple of things, right? We're not meant to be there's different levels of friendships, right? I think that we're talking about more so inner circle, close intimacy,
yes,
you know a lot about my life type friendship. That's not that we need to do a better job at guarding our hearts when it comes to friendships. Because then I think then we get to this point and it's like, well, I didn't guard my heart in friendships. I gave my heart away to all of these different friends who weren't supposed to manage it or who did not have the ability to manage it well. And then we get to the end and now I'm mad at God because all of these people that were supposed to be my friend aren't caring for me. They're not showing up for me. You know, they're yada, 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 right? So now I'm mad at God because the people in my life that were supposed to be the rocks are not rocks. But I never set clear boundaries. I expected things from people that I should not have expected them from. I gave way. I allowed myself to... I compromised on things that really mattered because of a greater desire to just be in this these relationships. I ignored all the red flags. You know, the list goes on. And now I'm just, God, how could you let me here? God. And part of it is God didn't do any of it. He actually was trying to protect you all along the way. You just didn't see it. Because it was hard because you were afraid because you know what, you probably were going to lose some friends that you should have, but you didn't want to go through the process of losing friends. So because you didn't go through the process, well, here we are. And so, you know, I think it's just I think all of these things are either tools to mature us and grow us and press us back into the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what was I missing? What are you trying to teach me and show me? How did you use these bad experiences to create in me greater levels of empathy and compassion towards people? How did you use, you know, so I think there's just always two ways to slice something. Sure. And either we allow it to mature us in our faith, or we allow it to push us further away from the one who's trying to get our attention and develop something in us. So.
And just by, you know, acknowledging, thank you, Lord, what do I need to learn from this? Instead of getting angry and just totally shutting off everything, your prayer life, you know, not looking at your word, not listening to the word, and walking around in offense. Because of someone who was insensitive, and the fact that you have the choice of putting yourself in harm's way. I mean, I have two best friends. One growing up, we met each other in the seventh grade. Still friends to this day. And then another friend I have, went to James Madison with me. And, you know, we've been friends for a little over 30 years. But they both remember this one person who was, quote unquote, I thought was my friend, but all she was doing was using me. And then it got to the point she would talk to me any kind of way. Or, you know, I mean, let's be real. You know, she was messing around with one of the guys I liked, and that did it. That was the straw, right? I'm like, you mean she's messing with my boy, you know, my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. So, but these two friends, they were like, Stephanie, why are you choosing to let her treat you that way? You know, she doesn't respect you. She don't respect your time. And you lucky we didn't know what was going on at the time. Because we would, you know, and then they start talking about what they would do and wouldn't do and da, 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 da. Which I know they would because they love me. But but you have to make that choice. You yourself make the choice of guarding your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life.
You know? Yep.
And everybody got issues. But if you put the trust in the wrong hands, they can turn against you. And that can be insensitivity. That could be mocking, joking, all those things. So I'm gonna go back through them real quick, ladies. Y'all, if y'all got a pen, y'all write them down, because after this, we'll be close to being done. Okay, the strategic approach, a scriptural blueprint to how to deal with insensitivity or an insensitive person. Number one. Guard your emotional energy. Check. Number two, speak the truth in love and clarity. Three, let your no be a firm no. I think about my wife and kids when Damon wants with a nah, no. Yeah. Let your no be a firm no. Got it? All right. And then finally, choose your company wisely. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So, any final comments, Sarah, about what we discussed?
Thank you for having me. This was a great conversation.
Great. You're so cute. I'm glad I have you. That's so sweet. I'm thankful I have you, for real, because you did help, and I appreciate that. And yeah, it was a good conversation, because not only do you have young children that you're raising in a world that is so insensitive and calloused, but y'all are teaching them to have a tender heart. But with this, you know how to teach them how to be assertive, not aggressive, and not be passive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can apply all of that, and I can apply it to myself in days now, and, you know, with changes, health changes and things in my life where people have been insensitive, you know? So I just thank the Lord for this lesson. I thank the Lord for the word. Now, Sarah,
amen.
Could you pray us out, please?
Absolutely. Father, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for teaching us, reminding us, showing us what it is to really care for your children, be compassionate, to be empathetic, to truly walk out what it is to love. God, I thank you for challenging us to be careful with our words, with how we speak about and speak to your children, our brothers and sisters. God, I thank you for giving us practical wisdom in your word. God, I pray that you would illuminate, continue to illuminate your word to us, make it plain for us that we could receive it and obey it. God, so that the world would know you because of our love one to another. Let it be infectious, Jesus. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this conversation. God, I pray that the seeds that are sown into fertile ground. And God, that you would water, that there would be fruit from it. We love you. We thank you. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of our ministries and would like to help us continue to do what God has called us to do, you can sow a financial seed by using Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or visiting our website at www.lovemychurch.org and click Sow a Seed. Amen. So amen. God bless you. I'm Pastor Steph. And that is
Sarah.
Look, Sarah Hobson, my spiritual daughter, y'all. Anyway, that's her. All right. So please stay tuned for our announcements. And again, thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
I just don't understand why I keep hitting the same walls in my relationships.
Maybe it's because of your relationship with your father.
Get ready to receive your breakthrough with Damaged Goods, the all-new audiobook from Pastor Lewis L. Tucker Jr. Prepare to experience the restoring power of the Father's love with a special 17th anniversary edition of the groundbreaking book, now available in audio. Get your copy today for you or someone you love.
Good day, everyone. I'm Pastor Tuck's AI voice clone, and I am the voice you will hear if you purchase a copy of Damaged Goods, the Restoring Power of the Father's Love, 17th Anniversary Edition. Trust me, you'll be blessed. Hear this wonderful, life-changing revelation in Pastor Tuck's very own voice. This powerful audiobook will truly change your life. And make sure to download the My Church channel, available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Or get the My Church on the Go app on your favorite mobile device. God bless you, and I will be reading to you soon.
Scan the QR code and get your copy today of Damaged Goods, the Restoring Power of the Father's Love. Now available on Spotify.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted. Chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.